it goes down smooth.
Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Cannabis.
Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gangway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belville.
Oh, yeah, welcome back, everybody. 4:02 in the Pacific Time Zone. Radical Russ here for Toker Talk Radio. This is our live hour. And you can call in live at 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. 844-20-RADIO. Or 844-420-RADIO. Whatever you want to call it, that's what it is. It's the same number no matter what emphasis you put on the right syllable. It doesn't work the same way. Good mood here in Rolla J Studios. Thanks to that last segment. Senator Ted Farrioli is my new favorite Republican. This guy calls it like it is, man. My confidence in the ability of the OLCC to regulate this system is rapidly diminishing. Rapidly diminishing. I like what our chat room said. These nitwits, they're nitwits, don't know what they're doing. That's true. We got some other stuff to talk about on the show as well. Later on, I'm going to get into another chilling murder of dog, canicide, that is, by cop. I call it canicide by cop, and this one's pretty shocking. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Also, I've got some more information on the story I broke yesterday on Marijuana Policy Project Director Rob Campia and his threatening email to a dispensary owner proposing a competing legalization plan. Also got comments from Mason Tvert at MPP, the man who was the head of legalizing in Colorado. So we'll get, he's now the MPP communications director. We'll see what they have to say about the story. Also, don't forget tonight, we got a new funky roller rink. Big Daddy Fink's funky roller rink is on. You can catch it at 8 p.m. Pacific time every Thursday night here on 420 Radio on the live stream. And if you want to see Big Daddy himself and his funky new disco ball, check them out on the Funky Roller Rink Ustream page. That's right, ustream.tv/channel/Funky Roller Rink. So you get, you, if you miss the video, folks, there's still, you can still get your fix. There's some video fix for you. But stay tuned on the radio. You'll get yourself an hour's worth of some of the deepest funk tracks. It'll make you feel good. It'll make you smile. All right, let me get to, one other note. Dolink brings this up in the chat room as well. And I reached out to Dr. Holland today. Dr. Julie Holland is a former guest on my show. She was the author of Weekends at Bellevue, where she talked about being an emergency room doc. She also was the managing editor. I think she was the editor of The Pot Book, a big, thick book, just full of great essays on marijuana from leading researchers and policy experts. Now she's got a new book out. I love the title. It's called Moody Bitches. Moody bitches. I love it. And the subject of her book is basically how big pharma, the pharmaceutical industry, is targeting women for their prescription antidepressants. And how being female anymore, just having moods, is now being declared some sort of illness that women need to be cured from. And they're rapidly being given these prescription antidepressants. About 1/4 of the women in America are on them. And you've seen the commercials for them, haven't you? These sick cartoons. Every time I have to hear some prohibitionist bitching about, oh, big marijuana is going to lure the kids in with cartoons. They'll use cartoon marketing. They'll market to kids. And then I flip on the TV and there's Cartoon Lady with her little Abilify umbrella cartoon or her robe, right? Oh, are you depressed? Is your antidepressant not making you not depressed enough? We've got another pill to help your antidepressant. It's like, this is now you've got a pill for your pill. And then they're all in cartoons. Or the little, was it the Abilify? The one that had the little bouncing ball? The little cute pill that was a bouncing ball, right? And we're supposed to worry about Joe Camel. We're supposed to worry about the Budweiser frogs. Meanwhile, Big Pharma is all over the airwaves with cartoons. And they're just mass marketing to women and convincing them that their moods are unnatural and they need to be medicated. And the other thing is Dr. Holland in this book, of course, she's very well educated on endocannabinoids, very well educated on the whole system and all, and use of medical marijuana, makes that point as well. Talking about the endocannabinoid system and how many of these women who are just overprescribed these pharmaceutical medications might do just fine if they just smoked a joint now and then. Hell, just the reaction that smoking a joint can do for menstrual cramps, according to my wife, is reason enough to legalize it. Okay? So let's open this up and check out Dr. Julie Holland's new book, Moody Bitches, and we'll see if we can't get her on the show again. I'd love to talk to her. All right, coming up next after the break, a Texas trooper ordered to undergo counseling for posing with Snoop Dogg.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different, something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky, rollerblade.
What's happening? Big Daddy here, and I want you cool cats to come and chill over at my pad, the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh yeah.
We'll be grooving every Thursday night, right here on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
What can I do when you got me going?
Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopp. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
If I were a lame
DJ Ill Will,
only just for a week. I look myself in the mirror and shoot the first thing I seen. No, honestly,
Welcome back, everyone. That's Wiz Khalifa with If I Were Elaine. Okay. So, quick note from alternate.org, story out of Texas. You know, if it's coming out of Texas, it's going to be good, right? A Texas state trooper has been ordered to undergo counseling for posing for a picture with Snoop Dogg. Posing for a picture. This is what happened. It was the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, and Trooper Billy Spears was working security. He's standing around minding his own business, working security, when Snoop Dogg walks up and asks to take a picture. Now, it should be noted in the picture, Snoop's wearing a dress shirt with a collar, and over it, it looks like he's wearing a nice white kind of sweater vest. Got one chain on, hair tied back. I mean, he looks pretty. I mean, if Snoop Dogg could look corporate, that's how Snoop looks right now, right? So Snoop gets the picture taken with the trooper who was just standing there. And Snoop said, hey, can I get my, yo, dog, can I shoot a picture? Whatever he might have said. And gets the picture taken and posts it on his Instagram with the comment, me and my deputy dog. So once the higher ups at the Texas State Police noticed this, the Department of Public Safety and Transportation caught the post and cited Deputy Spears, Trooper Spears, for deficiencies. And these deficiencies require counseling by a supervisor. What the hell terrible thing did this cop do, man? He's standing there and a guy took a picture. He needs counseling. What this is he's going to get yelled at for allowing his picture to be taken with a black rapper who was tried for murder and suffered many drug convictions. Found not guilty, acquitted, right? But still, that's what the deal is here. We don't like your kind down here in Texas. Law breaking rap. Spitting bitches and hoes saying rapper. Oh man, what a silly story. All right, so let me get to some more on the MPP thing. Okay, so yesterday went off, I did, on this threat that Rob Campia, the head of MPP, delivered to a former co-worker, former colleague, someone who was a part of their commission, their committee, whatever it is, to try to pass marijuana legalization in Arizona. So this Dr. Gina Berman, she was working with MPP. Now, she's a dispensary owner. So MPP was working with the established dispensary industry there in Arizona, and they were all trying to figure out how they're going to work together to put together an initiative to legalize marijuana in 2016. And the big news that broke was that Dr. Berman kind of blindsided MPP, left their organization, and filed paperwork at the Secretary of State's office to form a competing group, Arizonans for Legal Reform, Legalization Reform, Reform, something like that, ARL, I think they're called. Maybe I should look that up, find exactly what it's called. it's in my story somewhere. But anyway, Arizonans for Legal Reform, let's call it. Anyway, she formed a competing group. And the part that bothered me about this was not necessarily Rob Campia being angry about it. I mean, it must suck to put together a marijuana reform organization and to have a trusted underling then leave your organization without your knowledge and completely blindside you and set up a competing organization using many of the contacts and information and research that your organization had worked so hard to build? Yeah, that must really suck, huh? That story sounds a little familiar to you. It's the story of Rob Campia leaving Normal and forming MPP in much the same way that this Dr. Berman has now left and formed her little organization. So, you know, that's just chickens coming home to roost. And I understand being mad about that. And I even understand the idea that, hey, two competing initiatives just divides up our resources and electorate. So what are you doing risking the chance we've got when we agree on almost everything? What are you doing risking that to form some competing organization, right? So I understand all that. Where the problem lay was that Campia then fired off an email to Dr. Berman threatening her business. He threatened to spend $10,000 to, quote, pay people for 1,000 hours of time to distribute literature outside of your front door, and the literature will not portray you in a kind way, end quote. I was with them all the way up until that. As soon as it came to, I'm going to hate leaflet your dispensary, that's where a line was crossed. Now, as I pointed out in the piece, right, this ain't a dispensary that's competing, that's fighting legalization. This is a dispensary that likes a different legalization. And it's not like 2010 when the California dispensaries were fighting legalization that was already on the ballot. Or 2012 when Washington dispensaries were fighting legalization that was already on the ballot. I was part of the people who were calling out those dispensaries. But this is a place where legalization is not on the ballot, and the people he's fighting against could potentially put forth a viable initiative. So that to me was beyond the pale, and that went far beyond all good taste, good measure, good politics. And I just think, you know, made us look really bad. So I wrote a 2000 word diatribe on this thing. Well, I received a official comment from MPP, from Mason Tvert, who's the communications director at Marijuana Policy Project. And let me just say, if you took the reciprocal of the esteem I feel for Rob Campia, it would be the esteem I feel for Mason Tvert. Okay? I hold him in the highest regard, let's just say, Mason Tvert, I do. And his quote, this is Mason's official quote on it, is, unfortunately, Ms. Berman's new committee grossly mischaracterized MPP's positions. MPP has been unwavering in its support for an initiative that both includes a reasonable cap on retail licenses and allows adults to grow a limited amount of marijuana in an enclosed, locked space inside their homes. This initiative is the product of a lengthy and deliberative drafting process and represents a compromise that was agreed to by the folks representing the medical marijuana business community. It appears that everyone was on the same page until this new committee formed and made claims to the contrary, end quote. And that's a nice statement, and it's a professional statement. And looking into it, it's a truthful statement. Indeed, what MPP has been proposing has included caps on retail licenses and some home grow. So for Dr. Berman to try to paint this as, well, they were just reckless and calling for unlimited home grow and unlimited dispensaries. And to be fair, I quoted that characterization in my piece unfairly to MPP. That turns out not to be true. What it does turn out to be is it turns out that they have differences on what those caps should be and what those limits should be. And MPP is favoring less of those limits. And I even mentioned this in my piece, how, you know, looking at the initiatives, it seems like MPP is the one that I would support more. Has a little more freedom in it. And of course, they got the money to get it done and the experience. So you got that in your corner. It was never a question of the initiative itself, nor any anger in reacting to Dr. Berman's undercut move, or whatever you want to call it or characterize it as. The main point of my piece was this petulant behavior of threatening people you disagree with and trying to bully them with 10 grand Or in the case of when it was in Oregon for 2014, it was 700 grand. Bullying us with big money numbers is beyond the pale.
What are you people? On dope?
I also think it's kind of interesting to note that in the official response from MPP, no mention of the threat and the letter. Right? Just what happened between, you know, the two initiatives and such. And that's probably the right way to go PR-wise. But I think it says a lot to not say anything about the threat. I think most of the people at MPP want to distance themselves from those sort of shenanigans as much as they can.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Oh, yeah, I hope you're having a good 420. I know I am here on this Thursday. And joining us here for our regular 420 Thursday break is Chuck Diesel. How you doing, Chuck?
Doing well, Russ. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm doing great. And, you know, I've got some oil I need to get into a little later, so it's going to be even better as the night goes on.
Excellent. What kind of oil are you dabbing on today?
It is, I believe, some Cinex. If I'm not mistaken, I always
forget. Should be energetic, and is that one of those cartridges like you like?
No. This actual dabbage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, gifted nice, to nice, me nice. By a friend. It's very nice of him. The cartridges lately have been this pineapple. It's been really tasty.
Nice. Yeah, you know, I was in Colorado last weekend, and I saw a couple people mentioned, "Oh, well, you should try Open Vape," and it was kind of interesting. I don't think they were all aware of kind of the anti-stoner stance that they took, and then just the anti-liberty stance that they took. But anyway,
yeah, they've mended their ways a bit. They adopted Normal's recommended drug policy, which is, you know, impairment testing, which is cool. But yeah, to not know that, you know, out of the gate was a little weird for me.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it's just always a little interesting when someone within your own movement, but I mean, as you were talking about earlier, that seems to be where we hamstring ourselves the most.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the infighting and the, I don't know, the what did you call it? As the bull burns.
As the bull burns, the continuing tale of Mara drama in the United States. That's right.
Yep.
It's our own little
we
soap
keep it
opera.
Going.
All right. Well, speaking of the oil I got, we got some music coming up here, and you know, I knew it was only a matter of time before we had a plethora of dab related artists and music. And it looks like we got one coming up here that's very dab related. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we've got Shatter with Be Real and Wiz Khalifa. And they have done a couple mixtapes. I think Be Real, man, he's really, I think as far as people that were, we knew were cannabis friendly before legalization and they talked about it, I think he's kind of the forefront, him and Snoop Dogg. Like, he has the Be Real TV and he has the, oh, what's it called? It's kind of like comedians in cars getting coffee, but it's like rappers smoking blunts in Be Real's car.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, he's done a great job in the internet media with Be Real TV and that show, and he's always been on top of that. And plus, I see him at the events too. I see him at the Cannabis Cups, and they've got a real big Dr. Yep. Green Thumb thing going on. So yeah, he's been great.
Yep. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate him, and so I'm happy to give his tune some play here.
All right. Well, this is it. Be Real and Wiz Khalifa with Shatter. And this is produced by Joe Millie. Another one of these Dat yeah. Piff exclusives, right?
Yep.
All right. Let's get into it.
We'll talk to you later, Russ.
It don't matter what you smoke, we smoke better. Our joints are much fatter. Girls got lemon shatter. We taking dabs like it don't matter. I get you higher off that jet fuel parachatter. I got a shop in Denver, Colorado, and Nevada full of girls got lemon shatter. I got a shop around in Santa Ana, Orange County full of jet fuel parachatter. Licks when I was younger, had a lookout and a running. Love November, running summer. These $2,000 stunners on my phone, no talking numbers. You know them people want it, swipe ghosts right behind me. I feel haunted, I feel haunted. Girl Scout, let me shatter. That's your bitch, I have to have her. Spend the weekend in Nevada, strip the shoes on my floor. My white bitch, she call her handlebar ladder. Only one in Las Vegas, smoking weed in my cabana. Used to get 6 grand for a pound in Atlanta. Rode a wire with Tropicana, board him up with a fan. And now I'm cooling in the trap, thinking about my bitch in Tampa. You can smell me, girl Scout cookie right through the wrapper. I'm not a rapper, I'm a motherfucking kingpin. I got blue dreams for the love if you need in. Real smokers, real factors in this weed shit. You ain't high as me, nah, you ain't it high as B. It don't matter what you smoke, we smoke better. Our joints are much fatter. Girls got lemon shatter. We taking dabs like it don't matter. I get you higher off that jet fuel parachatter. I got a shop in Denver, Colorado, and Nevada full of girls got lemon shatter. I got a shop around in Santa Ana, Orange County full of shatter. If you should ever call the doctor and you need that medication, make appointments with my nurses, they will serve up any patients. I could see you hesitate, we be blazing the amazing. Endos and sativas, we ain't fucking with no hazes. Only in the dam, up in the greenhouse. But if you come to Cali, yeah, we clean house. 100 lights and 1,000 watts. Bitches dancing under my lights, see you at the top. Call me Green Thumb. These ladies pay me, baby. Let me twist your fate. Make you wanna hit that bait. Make me wanna hit that grape. He don't know about grape. She takes all of that weight. We get all of that cake. We keep Mary moving. She's such a pretty bitch. She be on point. Makes the doctor pretty rich. What kind of strain you want? What type of dab you need? Still pushing kush. The doctor's taking no matter what weed. You smoke, we smoke better. Our joints are much fatter. Girls got lemon shatter. We taking dabs like it don't matter. I get you higher off that jet fuel parachatter. I got a shop in Denver, Colorado, and Nevada full of girls got lemon shatter. I got a shop around in Santa Ana, Orange County full of jet fuel parachatter.
420 Radio, your ticket to the High Times Cannabis Cups. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Funky Roller Ring.
This is Big Daddy, and I want you to join me every Thursday night for some good old soul, funk, and disco at the Funky Roller Ring on 420 Radio. You dig?
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Check it out. Look at me on the crawl. I'm an MC, gotta be ready to brawl. Yeah. Ready for the gnarly bomb dropping off. Open up my whistle mouth, gonna win the way fall. Boom, drop it again. Try to hit the bullseye, my main event. It's a megaphone blasting.
Yeah, it's the Dirt Ball from Bend, Oregon. My favorite local rapper. With my show. This is my show. Thanks, Dirt Ball. So we're continuing discussions of the whole situation in Arizona. Dr. Gina Berman from the Giving Tree Wellness Centers in Phoenix and Mesa is now helping form a separate legalization initiative in the state of Arizona versus Marijuana Policy Project, which has already been laying the groundwork for an initiative in Arizona. Now, yesterday I wrote the story about this and how MPP head Rob Campia sent a threatening email to Dr. Berman explaining how he would spend $10,000 to hate leaflet her dispensaries in retaliation for her disloyalty, I guess, to teach her a lesson. I don't know. I just keep thinking what $10,000 could do here at 420 Radio. It's like, if you want to send some money in, send some my way, although I doubt that's happening, right? But anyway... Rob Campia has responded and sent an email out to various outlets today. Let's see if I can bring that email back up, where he explains his position on this situation and says, because Gina Berman has misstated the facts a few times recently, including stating that MPP was unwilling to compromise on the drafting of the legalization initiative, and that MPP is advocating for an unlimited number of retail licenses, it would be good if people know what Gina and her surrogates actually agreed to approximately 14 days ago. And below, I'm going to read to it the five major points that they agreed to that apparently were under discussion. But this concludes with the threat, another threat. If the Arizona dispensaries file their own initiative with the Secretary of State and or they renege on their agreement to donate money to the campaign, that would be MPP. That is, if the dispensaries renege on their agreement to give money to MPP, MPP would then proceed with an alternative initiative that does not adhere to the compromise agreement below. In other words, the alternative initiative would not contain protectionism for the dispensaries, but instead would be a more free market approach. So, what I understand from this, then, is that MPP wanted to do a more wide-open legalization, got into meetings with the dispensary people in Arizona, and to court their support, wrote protectionism for the dispensaries versus all the rest of us who might want to get into the business, wrote protectionism for the dispensaries into the Arizona Initiative and is now saying if they, the dispensaries, don't back this and drop their separate initiative, MPP will take all the protectionism out and go with more of a free market model that they wanted in the first place. Oh, well, isn't that interesting? Okay. It's just interesting to me in the context of having battled people all this week over Responsible Ohio. No, oh, they're writing an oligopoly into the Constitution. They're writing just a few people are going to get rich. But over here in Arizona, MPP's doing the same thing. Kinda. It's not constitutional, but they're writing laws in such a way to benefit the already rich people in the industry. Don't hear a lot of complaints about that, do we? Don't hear a lot of complaints about MPP when they were writing initiatives like, for example, or bills, I should say, laws, because they weren't initiatives. They had to go through the legislative process. But laws like what you get in Connecticut, where you got to have $2 million in escrow if you want to play in the marijuana business. Not just, you know, being a grower, but if you want to be a dispenser, you want to be a processor, $2 million in escrow. Nevada, it's like, what, $500,000? Massachusetts, $500,000? Something like that. You've got to be able to prove you can come up with six or seven figures worth of money just to play. But Responsible Ohio's the assholes for writing in a constitutional market here? Constitutional oligopoly? How come all these people so upset about oligopoly weren't bitching and moaning about the last 6 years of medical marijuana laws that MPP's churned out that have basically guaranteed these oligopolies? No, maybe they were bitching about them. Anyway, let's get back to the story here. Here is what MPP's Rob Campia says the dispensary industry and MPP agreed to. Number one, wholesale cultivation. They agreed that cultivation licenses would be issued in various tiers that limit the amount of marijuana that the license holder can cultivate. Now, that would be like Washington, right? Tier one, tier two, tier three, right? Tier one is X number of square feet. Tier two is medium and tier three is large. And only the current dispensary owners could receive unlimited cultivation licenses. New market participants would only qualify for the smallest license available, and they would be required to show that the market requires increased cultivation before earning a license to go to the next level, to the tier two or the tier three. Oh, this is what y'all were agreeing to. Now we're getting to a position where I'm almost in a position now where it's like, gosh, Gina Berman bailed on this, and her bailing on this might make Rob Campia pull that bullshit? Oh, well, talk about your nice unintended consequences. Maybe this works out for the best here. Making it so only the dispensary owners can have unlimited cultivation and everybody else has to start in the peewee league. Everybody else has to start with the smallest amount possible that they can grow. Protectionism for the dispensaries. All right. The number two item was retail sales. The number of retailers would be limited in number to 10% of the number of class 9 liquor licenses. I don't know what that is. That's an Arizona thing, but let's say liquor stores. So one for every 10 liquor stores, which is kind of like what they did with medical marijuana, one for every 10 dispensaries. And that would be today in Arizona, 150 pot shops. The number could increase slowly over time as more liquor licenses are issued, and that happens when a county increases population by 10,000. The cap on retailers would not expire or sunset. And in getting those retail licenses, medical marijuana dispensaries would be preferred for the new licenses and have an early application period to obtain these licenses before the other new market applications receive licenses. So, again, so this is what y'all were colluding on? This was the compromises that MPP was coming up with to court the dispensary industry that they agreed to, apparently, and now have, according to Campia, reneged on to go form their own initiative. Now, I've reached out to Dr. Gina Berman and these other people because I want to know if this is what the compromise was, what the hell is it that the dispensaries want? What the? Ha! Okay. Let's go on number three. Product manufacturers, distributors, and testing facilities. The number of licensees for these businesses would not be limited, but subject to rules by cities, towns, and counties. No limit on who can apply for licenses, but dispensaries would be preferred over other applicants. Aha. Okay, so once again, favoritism for the medical marijuana dispensaries. Number four, state regulator. A new department would be created, modeled after the liquor department, which would be the cannabis department, except marijuana licensees would have more representation on the new commission. So again, we'd set up a bureaucracy and we'd install dispensary owners in that bureaucracy. And number five, home cultivation. Arizonans would be permitted to grow up to 6 plants. Now that's significant because under their medical, they can't grow. Well, they can grow if they live farther than 25 miles from a dispensary, which 97.2% of Arizona patients live within 25 miles of a dispensary. I'm sorry, 97.2% of Arizona's population, might not be patients, but 97.2% of Arizona's population lives within 25 miles of a dispensary. So granting recreational 6-plant home cultivation is awesome. And they're also saying no more than maximum 12 at a household, and it'd have to be indoors, and it'd have to be out of public view and contained in a secure locked area. And someone who's home growing, an unlicensed cultivator, could not sell their marijuana to the dispensaries or to other patients or whatever. And I imagine probably the dispensary owners in their bill probably don't want any home grow at all, if I know what dispensary owners want. So this is an interesting story that keeps unfolding in front of me because I'm in an interesting position because there's no secret that I don't like Rob Campia. No secret about that at all. And yet, I'm in a position where I'm starting to feel for the guy because it sounds as if they MPP gave in on a lot of stuff to try to get these dispensary owners to play ball, and now they go and, you know, end run around them on this thing. Now, none of that absolves Campia for the idiotic move of sending out a threatening letter to a dispensary that you're going to spend 10 grand to hate leaflet them. Cause like really what happens? You succeed. And then what? The people who have jobs at the dispensary lose their jobs. The growers who are supplying that dispensary lose their income. The patients who live within 25 miles of that dispensary have no place to shop. Again, it's not a dispensary that's fighting legalization. The dispensary fighting for a different legalization. That's a different animal altogether. But yeah, it's an interesting story. And again, my big problem was the threat letter, but it looks like there's a little bit of shenanigans going on both sides here. Perhaps there's some shenanigans here on the Dr. Gina Berman side. What is it the dispensaries want that this compromise wasn't good enough for them? Giving them all the preference in the licensing, advanced preparation time to get their shit together, and the ability to have more grow when everyone else is limited to the lowest tier. How much more did they want? So I will find out. We will get this interview put together. I've reached out, like I said, to Dr. Gina Berman out there. Well, it's just through an info email. It's not direct to her. So we shall see what happens. But I got to tell you, the longer I do this and the more medical marijuana states I have to report on that are trying to legalize makes me jealous in a sense for Texas or Missouri or any state that might have a legitimate chance at moving straight to legalization and not having to bend over backwards to compromise and appease the people in medical marijuana. I tell you, it's getting old having to fight medical to get legal.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well,
Yes, but look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Welcome back, everyone. 47 and a half after the hour. That's Pony Boy and Los Marihuanos with They Don't Know Me. FCM Click in the house. Yeah, speaking of being a suspect, I don't know if you saw Chris Rock's tweet the other day. Chris Rock, the comedian, has been tweeting selfie pictures whenever he gets pulled over by the police. Today or yesterday, he posted his third picture in 7 weeks. Three times Chris Rock has been pulled over by the police in 7 weeks. Folks, I've been pulled over by the police three times. Hell, I was going to say in the past 7 years, but no, not even in the past 7 years have I been pulled over three times by the cops. I got pulled over once in my Jeep. It had a burnout headlight, and the cop gave me a warning for the headlight. Of course, got pulled over in Utah by the state trooper who threw me in jail for someone else's weed. And then I'm struggling to think of another time I've been recently pulled over by cops. This is just, you know, the racism of our law enforcement in this country. I mean, it's freaking Chris Rock. Not like you don't know who the guy is, right? It's Chris Rock. And another black entertainer had tweeted back to Chris Rock. I forget which entertainer it was who had said, yeah, I went and traded in my Mercedes and got me a Prius just because I was tired of getting pulled over all the time. Because black man in a nice car, right? And don't think the drug war doesn't have a lot to do with this profiling. All right, let me get to our story that I had teased earlier, because I've been holding off on it because these stories, they make me such a combination of mad and sad that I don't know whether to cry or hit something, or maybe hit something and make it cry. I'm not sure, but So it's coming out of San Diego, California, from the antimedia.org. San Diego cops respond to the wrong house and kill a service dog who worked with children with Down syndrome. Guy's name was Ian Anderson, who already makes me feel good for him because that's the name of the flute player in Jethro Tull, right? Ian Anderson of San Diego is heartbroken after his six-year-old service dog, Burberry, was shot and killed by a police officer outside his home in Pacific Beach on Sunday morning. The beautiful and beloved pit bull began barking around 5:30 a.m. when police incorrectly arrived at Anderson's home for what appeared to be a domestic disturbance, but the police reportedly had went to the wrong address. The police had knocked on Anderson's door, and when Burberry ran outside, the dog stopped barking as one officer reached down to pet him, Anderson says. Unfortunately, the other officer on the scene had an extreme reaction to the beautiful gray dog who reportedly worked with children with Down syndrome and began yelling at the animal, demanding that it go inside. The dog became startled. The officer drew his weapon and shot the dog point blank in the head. Now, Anderson laid outside grieving for 2 hours with the body of his pet and friend who had helped him through his anxiety while coping with the loss of his father. San Diego Police Department issued the following apology, quote, or I'm sorry, the following statement, quote, "The preservation of life is our top priority, and this includes the lives of animals. This incident is currently being investigated as any officer-involved shooting would be, to assure proper procedures were followed. Any further comments prior to the completion of the investigation would simply be premature." Really? So there's some outcome of this investigation that would make you not feel sorry for this man? There's a possible result from this investigation that might make you think, yep, it's a good thing that dog is dead. Jesus. This did not have to happen. This is insane. And folks, another stat that's been bouncing around the internet today is the fact that in March of this year, American police officers killed more than twice as many people as UK police officers killed. Not in the month of March. Not in the year 2015 to date. Not even in the 21st century to date. But since 1900, let that sink in. American police killed 111 citizens in March. UK police have killed 52 citizens in 115 years. Now, I know it's an apples and oranges comparison, right? Here in America, we like our guns. We got our guns. Everybody got a gun. Got to have a gun. And in the UK, they don't really have guns. People don't have them. And the cops, by and large, don't have them. Just not a whole lot of guns. So I know it's an apples to oranges comparison here. But I refuse to believe that we, as Americans, are so much more desperately violent that 111 of us needed to be killed by our police. And the UK can get by with killing 52 in over a century. That's just something wrong with us, people. And I'm not taking this to the gun rant. I've done it before on the show. I'm not taking it there this time. Because really, I think the gun is kind of incidental. I mean, yes, the gun does make it possible for deaths to occur on a much more efficient basis, certainly. But there's a craziness in us as Americans. And that craziness is exemplified by a cop who feels a need to shoot a dog that is not attacking him. It's just a craziness. It's just it's a mass psychosis we have in this country that gets us to a position where killing a dog is proper police procedure. You know, the San Diego police say they're going to investigate this and assure proper procedures were followed. Well, they were. The proper, you're going to, check back in a month from now. I'll report on this story. I'll report on the end of it, and I'll tell you what'll happen. I can already write the story for you. The department will investigate itself, and it will find that the police officer followed all the proper procedures. And the proper procedure includes the fact that if the police officer feels that his life is, he is in danger, not even if his life is threatened, but is that he is in danger, he has every right to put that dog down. Now, don't think that works the other way. If you think your life's in danger from the police dog coming after you and you shoot that police dog, you're charged with killing a cop and you do serious time. Because cop dogs, well, they mean something. They're important. But your family pet, your service animal, your companion to your kids, the guardian of your home, a being that you'll have in your life from its puppyhood, all the way to the point you get him euthanized, that doesn't mean that much. Just go get another dog. That seems to be the police attitude. And there's no reason this has to happen. There are people who deal with dogs for a living that work as our public servants, who don't shoot every dog that gets angry at them. Postmen come to mind. The United States Postal Service. There's somebody that deals with dogs every day. Hell, postman shows up at my house. He's my dog's favorite guy, man. I can tell you when the mail shows up, Roscoe lets me know loudly. And yet, these guys get training. They get training on dog body language, dog aggression, how to reduce aggression, proper act. And then if things really get out of hand, they got some mace. And they can mace the dog. No, what's happened here in America is we got a sickness. We got a sickness where these cops don't see the dogs as dogs. They see them as things. And they don't see the people as citizens. They see them as suspects. And then if I can take the suspect's thing from him, I can establish control and dominance. This is shock and awe, people. This is shock and awe. This is domestic terrorism. And I pull no punches in saying that, and I'll defend that. It's domestic terrorism. What is terrorism? Terrorism is the infliction of violence to maintain your political position, to get your political way. And I believe this is so systematic in American police forces, this killing of the dogs as a standard operating procedure, that it is a systematic form of terrorism against largely marijuana consumers, to some extent all drug consumers, and to a larger extent, black and brown people. So if that ain't terrorism, to maintain some sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, drug war industrial complex or white male superiority patriarchy or whatever you want to call it. This is a tool. This killing of the dogs is a tool of terrorism used in the furtherance of that political ideology of maintaining the status quo, maintaining the power structures the way they are. And maybe if we started calling it what it is, maybe it would get more play. Maybe the idea of the terrorists investigating themselves for their own terrorism won't play so well. Maybe we'll get some movement on this so that websites like PuppySide at the Free Thought Project don't have to be set up. Yes, it happens so often there's a website for it. I gotta go take my dog for a walk. That's all the time we got for today. Time flies when you legalize. Thanks for joining us. The Law Enforcement Against Prohibition Hour is up next, because after that, I need to hear from some cops that I respect. So we got a whole bunch of videos we downloaded last night to add to the list. Listen to these cops, because these are the good guys. Thanks for joining us. For everyone here at Roller J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers, and your dogs.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you